Chapter 2. Live by the river. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel was a young Jewish man, captured by the Babylonians when they captured and destroyed Jerusalem. All captives became slaves to work in the hardest, meanest work for the captors. Many large ancient cities were built by slave labor. It is claimed that Ramses and Pithom were cities built in Egypt by the Jewish slaves before the Exodus. Ezekiel, one of the captured young Israelites, was a despised Jewish slave. Whether Ezekiel's dwelling was on the river with the other slaves, or whether he was there temporarily with other slaves working by the river on one of the king's projects, it is not known. But a slave among the captives by the river Chebar, he calls himself. The location of the river Chebar today is not known, but probably one of the canals or streams near the Euphrates River. By the river is a good place to be, in a dry and hot country like the Chaldean plains where Babylon was located. Babylon was located on the Euphrates River, in the land that later came under the rule of the Persians. Rivers are the source of life to a city or a town built upon its watered banks. Builders of cities all over the world seek out a likely place on the banks of a river. The river provides transportation, communication, protection, and water for the land and livestock. The river also gave them their most necessary elements of life. It is not the lot of most slaves to live by a river. Meet him at the waters. That Ezekiel's experience with God begins by the river is very significant. For rivers signify the poured out blessings of life and grace. John, the beloved disciple, saw the river of God flowing out from the throne of God, giving life to the New Jerusalem. Ezekiel also was given a vision of the river of grace and blessing flowing out from under the threshold of the house. The river of God is a type of the Spirit of God poured out upon the earth. Therefore, throughout the Bible, a river has a spiritual significance. Few are those that build their city in the desert. When Eliezer, Abraham's servant, seeking a bride for Isaac, and arrived to the city where Laban dwelt, he went to the well of the town where all the young ladies went to fetch water. He went to find those who would gather at the well for their daily needs of water. It was there he found Rebekah, for she went to the well every day to get water. That is where God chose to meet with her and took her into her life's destiny. Many times in Scripture, spiritual episodes in people's lives took place by the river, or a well, or a brook. That is to say that the water symbolized the presence and work of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel probably was not by the river just that one day, for his manner of speaking of it indicates that he was there dwelling among the captives for some time. He was not consciously expecting God to come to him there. However, the fact that God did come to him plainly manifests that he would be seeking God daily. By the river also shows that there was a daily flow of divine life, like a river, in his soul. Therefore, it is not at all strange that the river Chebar was a place that God chose to meet with him. Ezekiel was in the right place at the right time, and with the right spirit, waiting upon his God, notwithstanding his status and condition as a slave. I remember the night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It happened to be the same night a world-famous violinist came to our small town. I had to make a difficult choice, because such an opportunity came only once in a lifetime. I finally decided to go to church. For me, that was the right time and the right place. The river speaks of the abundant flow of divine life out from the throne of God. Meeting God by the river is the lot of the man who waits upon God, the only source of living water. Be it a well where Rebekah was found by Eliezer, the type of the Holy Spirit, or the well of Sychar, where the Samaritan woman met Christ. Be it the river Chebar, where Ezekiel was found waiting when God came to meet with him, or the river Jordan, where Joshua met the captain of the Lord's host. God met them when they were by the water. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, did not go to the gates of the city, but to the well. Christ did not go to the village of the adulterous woman of Samaria, but met her by the well. The vision did not come to Ezekiel as he was resting in his slave lodging, but came to him by the river. There are those who, even in time of persecution and pains of bitter slavery, still manage to live by the river of God. There, in the flow of the divine waters of life, they find their daily renewing and refreshing. Such ones will not live without water, be it a river of the streams of God or a well that taps into the underground streams. Water they will find. They will not live like the conies in the rocks, who need not water, but live by the dew of the morning only. God gave to the children of Israel a stream of water from the rock that followed them throughout their 40 years of desert wanderings. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, we read, "And they did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." God himself is the source of that river of life that flows from the throne of God, bringing life to the thirsty in the desert of this world. Planted by the river. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Joseph, even in the time of his slavery, God caused him to prosper. That is the blessing of God upon those who have learned to nourish their souls by the living river of God. The Lord prospered Joseph even in prison, because his soul was planted by the water. It does not suffice to occasionally take a journey to get a drink from that river. God has provided a river that flows every day. There God has made a meeting point where a man can meet with God. Blessed are those who determine to dwell by the river and have decided that they shall not live in the dry places. God said to Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 5 to 9, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you might observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." These words were given to Joshua as he stood on the banks of the river of Jordan, not while he was wandering in the desert, nor at the base of Mount Sinai, but there on the banks of the river Jordan, God met with him and spoke these tremendous words of faith and promise to him. He was told that he would prosper whithersoever he would go, that God was with him and would prosper him, fulfilling for him the same promise given to the psalmist in the first psalm. Some people seem to be always blessed and caused to prosper in the things of God. Those are the ones who have chosen to live by the river. God meets with them and blesses them and gives them faith and promises, while others are always eking out a living in the dry places. God desires to prosper his children, even as their soul prosper. He will meet with a man who lives by the river, the man who delights and meditates in God. That man, God will plant by the river of water. When drought comes to the rest of the land, that one will not even know it is a time of drought. He will be the planting that will bring forth fruit in his season. Things that live beside a river will always be well watered and remain in good condition. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. Rivers are always a delight to the soul. Just to sit by their side and listen to their music brings peace. At the brook Jabbok, God met with Jacob as he sought for help alone by those waters. After that glorious meeting with God, Jacob called that place Peniel, for he said, "Here I have met God face to face." River of God. Rivers speak of an abundance of water flowing determinedly on their way to their appointed destiny. The great Niagara Falls displays its immense beauty and mighty power as it plunges over the stony cliff and plunges many feet below. The mighty power of that cataract, created by the plethora of water that thunders downward, is truly awesome. It's a river that drains a third of a continent and flows through the Great Lakes, flowing daily without ceasing, both day and night, in a sheer volume of water that is beyond comprehension. The source of that mighty current is so vast that it runs full volume daily and is not shut off at night in order to save up water for the display of sightseers on the next day. It needs not to save the drips and drops with careful concern, as a good housekeeper monitors the faucets at her home. But it speeds on profligately, hour after hour, daily, monthly, yearly, and that for even millenniums. And so is a river of grace and life that flows out from the throne of God, so boundless, so continuous, so immense. All the people of the world can drink of it daily and not affect its measureless supply. Such an abundant, never-failing volume of grace and mercy, a stupendous and eternal supply of the ceaseless outflowing of the Spirit of God into this world of death and woe. A river that began in the very heart of God and found its outlet into this planet on the cross of Jesus, while from his pierced heart there flowed forth both blood and water. One of the reasons God puts a servant in a place where they are overwhelmed by the waves and billows is because he wants to put them in a place where their strength fails. Then they will turn to God. When Jonah turned to God, the whale got sick. God does not put his servants in a place so they will fail, but so that they will learn to take strength from him. God never intended for his people to live in the dry places, like conies in the rocks. He would put a cry in the heart of his children, "Cause me to come to thy river." God wants those who love him to prosper and not even be aware when a drought is in the land. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of it were for the healing of the nations.